风声、雨声、开盘声，声声入耳。股市、汇市、房市、天下事，事事关心。欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周财经节目。
每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里胡冠名播出。电话425-321-2659。
2022年10月16日，各位听众朋友们，大家晚上好，这里是西雅图中文电台每周财经节目，我是主持人静怡。按照惯例，首先我们来回顾一下本周的股市。美国周五收盘涨跌不一，三大股指在本周均录得了涨幅。美国在九月的零售销售大超预期，波音与辉瑞等大型的公司也发布了相对乐观的声明。美国财政刺激谈判陷入了僵局，参议院共和党领袖不同意白宫提出的刺激方案的规模。道指涨是112.11点，或0.39%，报28606.31点。纳指跌42.32点，或0.36%，报11671.56点。标普500指数涨0.47点，或0.01%，报3483.81点。累计本周道指上涨0.1%，标普500指数上涨0.2%，纳指则上涨0.8%。波音公司表示，欧洲最大的航空监管机构欧洲的航空监管局安全局 EASA 认为，航空波音公司已对波音737 MAX 飞机做出了改变，使其变得足够安全，可以在2020年底前重新在该地区复飞。波音737 MAX 发生两次致命的坠机事故后，已自2019年3月起在全球范围内停飞。辉瑞制药称，其该公司研发的候选的冠状病毒疫苗预计能在11月份的第三周到达安全里程碑，此后将在美国申请紧急的使用授权。辉瑞董事长兼 CEO Albert 在公开的信中表示，辉瑞将为该公司及其合作伙伴 BioNTech 合作开发的冠状病毒疫苗提供更清晰的时间表。他表示，在疫苗达到安全里程碑之前，将提交证明疫苗生产的质量及一致性的数据。美国九月的零售销售以三个月来最快的速度增长，优于了分析师的预期。这表明，尽管面对着越来越多的不利的因素，但三季度的最后一个月的消费者的支出仍强劲反弹。美国商务部在周五的报告中也表示，美国九月的零售销售月率录得了 1.9%， 远超出了预期的 0.7%， 前值则为 0.6%。 汇市方面，美元对即时货币周五多数下跌，之前公布的数据显示，美国零售销售 数据是优于了预期，且消费者信心在十月初略有上升。英镑持稳，因交易员对英国与欧盟达成贸易协议的前景仍抱有希望，双方下周将继续进行谈判。瑞典的克朗和加元领涨了即时货币，澳元涨幅最大。美元指数下跌 0.07% 至 93.70%， 周涨幅缩小至 0.69%。欧元对美元上涨 0.09% 至 1.1718 美元，欧元本周跌幅为 0.9%， 先前在 1.1700 下方的买盘提供了支撑，在 1.1800 附近与期权相干的卖盘限制了涨幅。美元对日元跌 0.05% 至 105.40， 周跌幅是 0.21%。 在全球新冠病例数加速上升和美国刺激方案谈判面临不确定性的情况下，日元是表现坚挺。英镑对美元涨 0.05% 至 1.2915 美元，稍早一度上涨了 0.4%， 后又下跌了 0.3%。 英镑周跌幅是 0.93%， 为三周以来的首个周跌幅，一周的隐含波动率约为 10.34%。 本月的高点是在 12.14%，显示了乐观情绪的上涨。大宗商品方面，我们首先来看一下黄金期货。周五10月16日，纽市盘中，金价是走低，现货黄金盘中一度失守了1900关口，刷新了日低，来到了1897.93美元每盎司。周线料录得了三周以来的首次下跌，因美国在11月3日总统大选前就刺激计划达成协议的可能性逐渐减弱，也削弱了黄金作为通胀对冲工具的吸引力。 COMEX 12月黄金期货下跌 0.1%， 报1906.40美元每盎司，本周累跌约 1%。 满地可银行基本和贵金属衍生品交易主管台湾表示，由于今年出台刺激计划具有高度的不确定性，黄金走势仍受制于美元。在原油期货方面，原油期货的价格在周五小幅收跌，但本周原油期货录得了连续第二周的上涨。市场担忧全球冠状病毒感染病例激增，将促使各国实行新的经济封锁措施，从而导致需求进一步下降。但美国上周的原油库存下降以及 OPEC 加承诺遵守减产协议的新迹象，令油价得到了支撑。 Again Capital LLC 合伙人这样表示，我们有一些亮点，但从需求和不断增加的 COVID 病例数据来看，前景仍然充满着挑战。文件显示，石油输出国组织 OPEC 及其盟友担心第二波新冠疫情长时间的持续，以及利比亚产量的跃升，可能会在明年造成石油市场的过剩，这一前景比一个月前的预期更为暗淡。一些欧洲的国家正在恢复宵禁和封锁的措施，以应对新增数据的病例的激增。英国在周五宣布，伦敦将实行更加严格的限制措施。National Bank of Australia 大宗商品研究主管劳恩表示，现实数据情况看来，我们现在看到的疫情在整个欧洲相当快速的蔓延，北美的疫情也在反弹，这都可能拖累石油需求的复苏。 OPEC 加联合部长及监管委员会 JMMC 将在周一开会时考虑前景， JMMC 可以提出政策的建议。OPEC 加计划在2021年开始减产力度降低200万桶每日，当前的减产规模是770万桶每日。WTI 11月原油期货收跌 0.08 美元，跌幅为 0.19%， 报 40.88 美元每桶。布伦特12月原油期货收跌是 0.23 美元，跌幅为 0.53%， 报 42.93 美元每桶。好，我们进入节目的第二个阶段，看一下本周的一些全球大公司动态。全球智能手机代工大厂台湾鸿海富士康在周五表示，希望在2025年至2027年拿下全球电动车 10% 的市占率，也就是约为300万辆。目前已与多家汽车制造商洽谈进一步的合作。鸿海的董事长刘阳伟表示，要尽快地准备电动车开放平台并占取市占率。鸿海会在平台上提供车商，包括电池以及连接网际网络的设备。刘阳伟强调，集团不会有自己的电动车品牌，而是会和许多品牌公司合作，仍以提供关键的零部件为主。尽管新冠疫情打乱全球的商业运作，但芯片行业仍然是少数赢家。对于全球最大的芯片代工厂台积电而言，今年是营收数字不断创纪录的一年。身处中美芯片战的前沿，台积电在第三季度净收入增长 36%， 达到了48亿美元，远远高于市场的预期。从客户占比来看，中国市场仍是台积电的第二大市场，仅次于北美。面对着美国对芯片行业的管制，客户已提前累积库存，台积电的中国市场在第三季度的份额达到了 22%。 南京厂的产能利用率也超过了2万片，超过了此前的预期。保时捷披露今年的前三季度全球新车的交付量为191547辆，与去年同期相比是下降 5%。 其中在9月保时捷在华的交付量同比增长 19%， 三季度保时捷在华的交付量为23220台，同比增长是 7% 左右。今年前三季度保时捷在华新车的交付量是62823台，同比下滑 2%， 但仍然是保时捷全球最大的单一市场。日本丰田将向中国广汽集团提供混合动力车 HV 的核心系统。丰田向海外企业销售混动车技术属于首次。中国自2021年起将混合动力车作为能节能的新能源车与优待。日本企业包括零部件企业在内，在混动车领域有优势。丰田、电装和爱信金机共同合资的电动车驱动装置开发销售公司 Blue Nexus 已向广汽集团提供了混动车系统达成的协议，向广汽集团供给的系统配备发电用的和驾驶用的两个马达的驱动系统，是曾经被用于普锐斯等车型的丰田的自主系统。在新冠疫情继续打击全球主要经济体之际，日本和各企业巨头正把希望集中在一个正在反弹的市场上，这就是中国。优衣库的销售商速销在周四表示，该公司的休闲服装在中国的销售复苏的速度要快于预期，这将是该公司希望在截至2021年8月的当前的财政年实现创纪录业绩的一个主要的驱动因素。其他认为中国市场强劲表现于有帮助于支撑近期的销量的日本公司，还包括其汽车制造商丰田公司。欧洲的最高的航空监管官员表示，对波音公司737 MAX 飞机所做的改变感到满意，已经是使得其足够安全，可以在2020年结束之前重返该地区的天空。尽管他所在的机构要求的进一步升级在最长2年内还不能到位，在9月进行了试飞之后，欧盟的航空安全局 EASA 正在进行最后的文档审查，预计下个月发布初步的试航指令，接下来将有4个星期的公众意见询问。2020年亚马逊全球的 Prime 会员日期间，以中小企业为主的第三方卖家销量再创新高，在19个国家的销售额超过35亿美元，同比去年增长近 60%， 成为迄今为止第三方卖家销量业绩最好的一届的 Prime 会员日。为期2天的 Prime 会员日活动中，包括中国卖家在内的全球中小型企业超过 1.5 亿的 Prime 会员提供了数十万项专属的超值的优惠。全球第三方卖家的畅销类别包括床上用品、无线配件、营养保健、艺术、手工缝纫、各户医疗等。好，接下来是我们节目的第三个阶段，也就是话题讨论时间。再次欢迎本周的嘉宾 Sam。
Hello everyone。
大家都知道，一场突如其来的 COVID 疫情让许多行业都陷入了寒冬，其中也包括一个行业受影响相当严重，它就是健身行业。在新冠疫情的一开始呢，许多州和地方的政府呢就开始关闭一些健康健身的企业，以加强社区距离安全的措施，为期现在已经将近半年之久，这个行业仍然受到了不断的冲击。今天我们就要讨论这个话题，就是 COVID 和健康健身行业。 Hey Sam, I just opened today's topic. So we all know like COVID hits a bunch of industries and sectors, including airlines, what we discussed previously. And today, we're going to discuss another sector or business, which is fitness.
Sounds wonderful.
So first, I would like to ask you a very personal question, not about economics. Were you regularly go to gym before COVID-19?
I did go to the gym Monday through Friday and usually Saturday, maybe Sunday, but pretty much every day of the week, in the morning before work and on the weekends before getting into the afternoon.
Perfect. That's a really good example for all the audience here. But I'm going to ask you one more question. How about now? Did you go or not go?
No, I do not go to the gym anymore since the COVID pandemic started. I've been working out outdoors, but mostly in the house.
Cool. So I know you're not just like one of them, but you are not just like one person. You're a bunch of person, especially in the really beginning of COVID-19. There are a lot of a closure and restriction from government as well. Let me do the translation first, and then we're going to dive into the conversation. 就像嘉宾 Sam 一样，其实 Sam 不是唯一的一个人，像我也是这样子的。Sam 呢是一个在 COVID 之前呢是会每天去这些健身房进行健身的一个健身爱好者，但是在 COVID 之后呢就很少去健身房了。我也是其中的一个一员。像在为期六个月之后呢，像我们对于个人来说是可以不去健身房在家健身，但是对于整个一个产业来说是如何发展的呢？ Like you and me, we're just individual, but how about the fitness industry? Is there anything like the industry wise? Is there any action from them? And how is there any government response to any request coming from the entire industry?
So there is a interesting movement from one of the lobbying groups that represents a large part of the American fitness club scene. The acronym is IHRSA.
Cool. I just decided on that.
Yeah. So that stands for International Health Bracket and Sports Club Association. And so that is a group that represents fitness establishments like 24 Hour Fitness maybe and Gold's Gym. And so they actually lobby the government to, just like a lot of other industries, to help them out when they need certain things or to change laws that are more favorable to them and represent their interests. And so they have been active. They've had some studies they've released. We can go into that study a little bit. They are asking for some help because that industry has been really hurt badly by all the closures and they're needing some help.
Cool. Sam 刚刚给我们提出来了一个非常有趣的观点，像我们没有在关注整个的一个健康方面的一个企业。这里在美国是有一个这样的一个联合会，叫做国际健康运动与俱乐部联合会，它的缩写呢是 IHRSA。 这个联合会呢其实是代表着整个的一个健身企业，它也是非常整个在COVID 之后呢也是在非常关注着整个美国政府是如何进行刺激政策计划的一个进行当中，所以说他们也是有一系列的行动的。而且他们的一个最新的数据显示呢，是在2020年，截至在2020年9月1日，美国境内呢是因为新冠疫情永久关闭的健身场所高达了2616家，美国健身行业在停工期间的损失也高达了139亿美元。所以可见呢，整个的这个行业是经历了一个寒冬。我们再看一下他们具体的一些措施是什么。 So you mentioned about the association IHRSA. What is specifically what did they do?
So they are a lobbying organization, and a lobbying organization traditionally will be hired or assembled by an industry. So for example, Imagine a bunch of gyms and fitness establishments have a need, a similar business requirement. Mm. They might form an association like this where they might contribute money, and then they will hire individuals that will go to the government, the American government, and then they will try to influence and share their findings and needs and research and other things to get laws that are favorable passed to them and possibly get certain tax breaks and, you know, help.
What did they do about COVID?
So they put together a study to help with their asks to the government. There's three specific asks in their from their website to improve SEAPPP, and then there's a restart loan program, and then a FIT Act that would be things that they would like the government to consider based on their needs.
Oh, so they are trying to make like the fitness industry to be part of the stimulus package.
Yep, they want more cutouts for them and their industry versus generically maybe getting certain help by accident. Mm. They want it to be more purposeful towards their needs.
像 Sam 刚刚说到的这个 IHRSA, 他们在 COVID 之后呢是像他们的Sam 提到的就是他们的文章当中他有直接的提出三项要求，要求国会进一步提供救济和刺激政策。就像我们之前在整个的新闻报道中反复提到的这个刺激政策，当时其实没有非常明确的将健身行业纳入其中，而他们是恳求国会呢将健身行业非常直接的纳入到刺激计划当中。This is actually very interesting thing because we all like seeing about the stimulus package is including bunch of areas, but it's really true. It doesn't mention fitness business like very specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So I also realized there's a study they actually did. The study I meant by providing data. Do you have any insight about that?
Yeah, so that has actually been a traditional way most of these lobbying groups and associations will work, right? They will conduct a study and they will ask, you know, an organization to perform the study. Mm. In this particular effort, this year by the IHRSA organization, they took a company called MXM to help aggregate data to kind of tell their story. And that met with a lot of controversy based on the methodology it used. And so that's an interesting and ongoing story. There's questions about the methodology and the conflict of interests. And, you know, then the customers' reactions once they heard what this particular lobbying group performed in the name of that industry. And so that's all a very interesting story I'd like to get in with you.
像刚刚提到的接下来的这个一个小小的一个案例，就是像我们刚刚提到的这家算是游说的一个集团，叫做IHRSA， 它其中就是联合着一个公司叫做 MXM 进行了一个关于健身房是不是安全的，是不是会助长 COVID 传播的这么样一个学习。就像刚刚 Sam 浅浅的提到一个，因为对于他们来说，他们的主要的目的是说服政客、政府和官方集团，所以他们在做这整个的一个数据分析的当中，就会可以反复提到，在整个的一个数据显示，他们的这个观点是健身房是一个安全的地方，但是当然我们就可以想象当中所有的听众朋友们或者是阅读的这些朋友们当中就可以反复的再去验证或者是提出整个研究方法的缺陷或整个的一个方法是如何扭曲了数据。
Yeah, definitely. There's So the conflict of interest manifests themselves based on who the chief executive of MXM is. He's also a member of the IHRSA. And so there's also the way they were gathering the data. For example, they were asking gyms to self-report. And the general message that they pulled from it is the numbers are really, really low and you're not getting sick from the gym. But the study, based on other folks' commentary and the Wall Street Journal's, I believe, reporting, isn't really conclusive. You can't say that it is or isn't. It's just not rigorous enough to be able to pull any authoritative answers from it. And so it's kind of a interesting approach, but they are still using that data and those reports to try to lobby government officials.
像 Sam 说到了，这个联合的做这个工作的公司是 MXM， 他们是与 IHRSA 是有非常紧密的关系的，所以说这样一个非常重要的问题就叫做利益冲突。而且他们在做整个的这个研究的时候，没有采用一个独立的可信的第三方雇佣方来做这个研究，本身就对这个研究产生了许多的质疑性，因为是有一个强大的利益冲突在里面。So before we close out for today's conversation, I'm going to ask you to give us some hopes about the fitness industry. What do you think is going to happen?
So it's a very interesting question. Personally, I've started embracing home on-demand exercise programs. And the industry itself is sort of embracing that idea as well, even before COVID. On-demand fitness has become more popular, but because of COVID, it really accelerated that industry. And so digital workouts are sort of like a Netflix subscription to a gym membership where you can watch content. And then there's a lot of interesting concepts that are being thrown around that are very futuristic, such as using your wearables like the Apple Watch or the new Amazon Halo, and then integrating those with, you know, AI and other things to help encourage you, and, you know, holograms to project in your house the instructor, and even this kind of, in my opinion, a little bit creepy idea of ingestibles where you can eat something that will help, you know, understand what kind of food you should eat or what your blood's doing, whether you should sleep. It's a lot of interesting stuff, but it definitely seems that home exercise with streaming services and some of the other futuristic technology is the way of the future. And so you might not need to go to your gym, and you can get your personal trainer at home through some sort of streaming service or projection through a hologram.
就像 Sam 说到的，一切的行业都在创新，健身的行业也充满着创新的机会，就像数字健身会不会成为新的一个规范，或者是我们通过人工智能或者是虚拟现实，也将一些教练会在 project 到你的家，像这些种种的这些数字化都其实为各个行业带来了很多机会，也同时带来了很多的挑战，所以说人工智能和全息的技术也将慢慢的进入到健身行业当中。以上呢就是节目的全部内容，非常感谢大家的收听，祝大家一切安好，我们下期再见。
每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里胡冠名播出，电话 425-321-2659。